answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
President Trump made a major announcement overnight saying that he is pausing Project Freedom to allow negotiations with Iran to proceed. The president posting on Truth Social, quote, based on the request of Pakistan and other countries, the tremendous military success that we have had during the campaign against the country of Iran, and additionally, the fact that great progress has been made toward a complete and final agreement with representatives of Iran. We have mutually agreed that while the blockade will remain in full force and effect, Project Freedom, the movement of ships through the Strait of Hormuz, will be paused for a short period of time to see whether or not the agreement can be finalized and signed. Now, Iran's ambassador to Pakistan responded to the announcement by mocking President Trump, posting on X, once beaten, twice shy. The U.S. military remains postured across the region should negotiations with Iran not yield the desired outcome. Yesterday, from the White House, Secretary of State Marco Rubio described what the Trump administration prefers.
Operation Epic Fury is concluded. We achieved the objectives of that operation. I'm not going to, you know, we're not cheering for an additional situation to occur. We would prefer the path of peace. What the president would prefer is a deal.
What the president would prefer is a deal. I like the Iranian response. You know, twice shied. I mean, acting like they're the subject and they're the object of lies and temperament and changing policies or no policy whatsoever. We have been very clear from the beginning. You must agree to cease any nuclear weapon production. And you must keep the Strait of Hormuz open. It is international water. Now, it appears, but this is like a mirage in the desert. As you get closer, it might disappear. But as of now, the U.S. and Iran close, maybe this close. See that? You're watching on our Rumble channels? Maybe this close to ending the war. Total. Now, the U.S. position is we have won. We're not continuing to fight, but we will if you fire upon us. And that is a direct statement from President Trump and Secretary of War Hegseth. We will get to that in more detail later. But right now, the agreement is we will no longer even escort ships through the strait as long as Iran does not interfere with them. We will continue to blockade the Iranian ports so nothing leaves or arrives in those ports. Very simple. But Iran, they still want more. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. Here we are, May 6, 2026. And with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you have right now. And in our next hour, my guest is going to discuss the issue that suddenly surfaced from the leftist liberal women, Femosphere. Leftist women trying to manipulate men. And they've been trying, and now they're trying to gear it up. This is not the old women's lib movement of Gloria Steinem. This is destroy men, weaken men, and in cases, transform them from men to women, if you can. Now, later in this hour, Dr. Mary Bolden, she was suspended from a Houston hospital because she was calling out things about COVID that she saw then, back in 2021, which are the same things that RFK Jr. is laying out before Congress now. She will join us with what she saw and how she got treated. And our story behind the story. It was on this date of the Hindenburg disaster the Hindenburg airship tragedy. That's our story behind the story coming later. Now, once again, talking about dealing with Iran and this deal that we currently have set in place. We will no longer escort ships of any kind through the strait as long as Iran does not attack them. And, of course, the other part of that is, as Secretary of War Hegseth makes clear, you certainly don't fire on us.
To what remains of Iran's forces, if you attack American troops or innocent commercial shipping, you will face overwhelming and devastating American firepower. The president has been very clear about this. We prefer this to be a peaceful operation, but are locked and loaded to defend our people, our ships, our aircraft, and this mission without hesitation. To Iran, let innocent ships pass freely. These international waters belong to all nations, not to Iran to tax, toll, or control.
It's as simple as that. And Iran knows this. These are international waters. But Iran wants to claim them for their own. And Iran, by the way, continues to fire on the United Arab Emirates. They did it again last night, striking oil facilities, trying to cause destruction inside the United Arab Emirates, just across the strait. And as long as that continues, we still don't really have a, quote, ceasefire. And Israel, of course, continues to go after Lebanon, not the country nor the people, but Hezbollah that's in the southern side of Lebanon. I want to make it clear to you, Israel is not trying to claim any part of Lebanon. They don't say any of it belongs to them, but they do not want Iranian proxy Hezbollah firing into Israel from Lebanon. But what about the effect of the blockade? Ambassador Waltz.
Here's what we're doing and what Secretary Rubio was talking about. First, President Trump has set the stage. He brilliantly flipped the script, put the blockade in place, the blockade on the blockade. Then with Project Freedom, we were breaking the blockade. And lo and behold, you've seen Iran now truly desperate for a deal. Their currency is tanking. Their foreign reserve are tanking and they're out of them. They can't have storage anymore. Not only are we blocking anything leaving with our great U.S. Navy, we're blocking the empties from coming in where the storage would go. And now they can't make payroll. They literally can't make pay their military. They can't pay their government. They're absolutely desperate for a deal. I won't get ahead of what's happening with our negotiators.
And again, that's our Ambassador Waltz, who's been with Jared Kushner in trying to broker this deal. But again, President Trump does say if Iran does not sign or begins to attack our ships, the bombing will start again. It's in their hands. But do we still have a concern about Iran and its nuclear bomb-making capability? There was an intel report supposedly uncovered by Reuters yesterday that says that a lot of what we tried to destroy and their allowments and their locations and their transportation of these materials might still be viable. Listen to it as reported on MSN Now.
The U.S. intelligence assessment, according to three sources they cite, that say Iran has the same capability today as it did 2 months ago.
Very significant reporting, Katie, and it really undermines the narrative that we've been hearing from both the Americans and the Israelis. And look, let's be very clear about this. The number one motivation for the years of sanction against Iran, for the attacks last year by Israel, followed by Operation Midnight Hammer, plus this year's war, has always been motivated first and foremost by Iran's nuclear program and preventing Iran from having a nuclear weapon. Based on this reporting, seems to be still intact, although we don't have a sense of how badly it has been degraded. The main focus has always been, Katie, about this highly enriched uranium that Iran still has. And we've heard Pete Hegseth in the past say that it is buried under the rubble somewhere in Iran. The question is, if the Iranians do recover this or know where it is, could they potentially accelerate the desire to build a nuclear bomb with it? And that is the question that America and military planners and the Israelis have to answer, is to what extent, as you alluded to in the setup, would the United States be prepared to put in special operations forces on the ground to try to, you know, extract that highly enriched uranium? And it's a certain part of the negotiations. That is a very complex operation and certainly a very dangerous one as well.
Now, there's an interesting quandary here for the leftist legacy media. You shouldn't be going after Iran. And they want to make everything about the shipping blockade when really the Iran nuclear capability is a real issue. There are a lot of countries across the nation that have ability to use nuclear material, but not bringing it to weapons grades. So everyone on the left was criticizing Trump for us joining with Israel, bombing and rebombing and rebombing, trying to wipe out the Iranian uranium enrichment area. And now suddenly they're saying, well, we haven't achieved what we were going to do. And so, in their view, as usual, Trump can't win either way. But he did win last night. The Indiana primary, the votes that showed up for the Indiana primary supporting the Trump-supported candidates, this headline from Axios, or Politico rather, which is a leftist-leaning organization, says it all. With Indiana, Trump asserts his grip on the GOP. Oh, they're crying tears over that. And Democrats are making it clear what they will do if they get back in power. In fact, this is a direct threat. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker.
Most Americans agree that the highest court in the land should not have the lowest of ethics laws, and that billionaires can routinely shower Supreme Court justices with gifts from mobile homes to fancy expensive vacations. We all know that's wrong. In addition, most Americans agree that Supreme Court justices shouldn't sit on those benches until they're so ailing, just hoping they can hold on well past perhaps even senility, until their president lines up with their jurisprudence philosophies and they can leave the bench. That's why term limits are a good thing as well. And so, yes, we have to think hard about how we're going to reform the court and bring it back into alignment, especially because they're continuing to do things like we saw last week, eviscerate years and years and years of progress and throw us back to those dark years where so many people were successfully suppressing the votes of minority groups throughout the South.
And that is a lie, Senator Booker, and you know it. You know it. But of course, you peddle this pablum to your willing leftists that are willing to lap it up like dogs thirsty for water. And one other thing, when he's talking about judges remaining on there when they're past senility, they shouldn't even be there. Name one of the judges that is at that point. Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever one time call out Ruth Bader Ginsburg when Obama's trying to get rid of her? Did you say that she should come off the court? No. If you find evidence of that, you please send it to me direct. I would appreciate it. And of course, they want to continue to say all the political violence in this nation, although it's been aimed at Trump, Republicans, conservatives, it is all due to Donald Trump, according to Illinois Governor Pritzker.
I will say that one of the results of the current environment is that there are, because of all the political violence that's occurred, and we can talk about the causes of that, but because of the political violence, I think that the anti-Semites out there and the people who are racist because they know that I stand up for communities of color have come out of the woodwork. And, you know, and I receive threats. I'm sure that politicians across the country are receiving more threats than they have before. But I hear about it. And in particular, sometimes I hear the mention of my Judaism, right, of my religion.
That has spiked in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
like threats against you and your family?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but it's true, and it's more than it was in years before.
That is an interview Pritzker gave with Politico. He is Jewish, in case you didn't know it, and he says, they're coming after me because of my Jewish, but I've always stood for people of color. Jews are not a particular people of color. They are a religion, Governor. You should know that. And I did not once see you stand up and condemn the anti-Semitism expressed across the nation, and especially Ivy League colleges, and even in your state. You didn't do it. No, it all has to be blamed on Donald Trump.
Look, our leaders set the tone in this country, and I think that the President of the United States has set a tone where political violence is okay. He's advocated it himself before. It's a terrible thing. He's experienced
the target of it too. Obviously,
what I'm saying. He's experienced the other side of that. We gotta stand up against this. We need to be speaking out against political violence. I'm a big believer in it's okay to disagree, but not be disagreeable.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you should have a conversation with some of your leftists, including Minnesota Governor Walz.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core." Let that sink in, and don't be a damn bit afraid of saying it, because that's exactly who he is.
Now, what do you think Governor Walz is pushing? More violence against Trump, because he's a fascist. He is Hitler. Is there anything Trump has done? I don't care if you like him or you hate him. Has he done anything that equates to Hitler exterminating 6 million Jews? Anything? You know the answer? No. And yet they continue to make that equation because they think that will spur on more radicals, maybe more attempts upon Trump's life. And yet Governor Pritzker says, oh, Trump is the one to blame for all the violence in the country. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. And that is why I encourage you to continue to tell your friends and neighbors, if they're not listening to this program, start listening. And even your enemies. Send them a copy. Pull up a podcast and say, you need to listen to this. Your enemy will become maybe a greater enemy, or they might actually thank you once they see the light. Coming up, Dr. Mary Bowden, fighting for truth about COVID back in 2021, paid a high price. We're going to be talking to her because the same thing she raised then is being raised by RFK Jr. And the story behind the story on this date, 1937, the Hindenburg disaster. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. true comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Andersen, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAndersen.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
On April 21st, the European Commission approved the world's first combined COVID and flu mRNA shot. And the same date, our Health and Human Services Secretary, RFK Jr., told a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee that these vaccines have, quote, limited efficacy against respiratory illnesses, and defended pulling $500 million in contracts for mRNA. There was a doctor in Houston in 2021, Stanford-trained, Houston ENT, who got suspended from Houston Methodist Hospital for dangerous misinformation about COVID. And she was saying the same things RFK Jr. is saying now. Dr. Mary Talley Bowden. Dr. Bowden, glad to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
I want to point out, you have a book out, Dangerous Misinformation, The Virus, the Treatments, and the Lies. And I want to come back to that a little bit later. But everything laid out in your book is documenting what JFK or RFK Jr. is saying right now.
Exactly. I saw firsthand that these shots were basically all risk and no benefit. I saw firsthand that early treatment was highly effective. I ended up treating over 6,000 COVID patients, and everybody that received early treatment survived and stayed out of the hospital.
Did you use that dangerous horse medicine, ivermectin?
I did.
And, oh.
Yeah, I was a little nervous. I know. Well,
go ahead.
I used monoclonal antibodies, and those weren't controversial. And initially, I could get as many doses as I wanted. I'd have them the next day, and people responded very well to them. But then the government took over distribution, and this was in concert with mandating the COVID shot. So I started using ivermectin because I had nothing else to use, but I found that it was safe and effective, just as much as the monoclonal antibodies.
You know, Dr. Fauci would say you were not following the science.
Yes, yes. Well, there was a standard of care that was implemented by quote-unquote scientists who were hiding in their bedrooms and dictating what the rest of us could do over Zoom calls. And that was a first that I've seen in my career. I was basically speaking out based on what I was seeing firsthand. And I've never seen this many patients with one disease in my career. I doubt I ever will again. And you soon become an expert when you see that many patients with the same disease.
Now, you said, and you're correct, some of them were hiding out, but a lot of them were out in public doing whatever the hell they wanted while they locked the rest of us up.
Yes. Yes, there was an abundance of hypocrisy, as we saw. You know, the masks on the face when they were on camera and then quickly taken off as soon as they were off camera.
You sued the FDA because of the ivermectin guidance, and you ended up winning. Give me a thumbnail sketch of that, please.
Yeah, it's really hard to sue the government and win, which I didn't quite understand until going through all this. But this is August of 2021. They put out that infamous horse tweet, and it's an attractive healthcare worker nuzzling the horse. And you don't really need the caption, but it says, stop it, y'all. You're not a horse. You're not a cow. And with the implication that ivermectin is only for horses. And then they put a bunch of misinformation on their website, the FDA, concerning ivermectin and basically telling patients that they shouldn't take it and telling doctors they shouldn't prescribe it. But that's not their job. They're not allowed to do that. And so we sued them for straying outside their lane. And we actually won. And they had to take down the misinformation from their website and from the social media accounts.
At what point did they take it down based on your lawsuit? I mean, how deep were we into their controls?
Yeah, I mean, it's important because it sets a precedent. I didn't really have any meaningful effect. And ivermectin still has a major stigma to it, although more and more states are taking action to make it available over the counter. So 5 states so far, and South Carolina just passed it in the House, and they expect to pass in the Senate. So that'll make 6 states. Honestly, the FDA should correct the record. They should make a statement about the safety of ivermectin, and they should make it over the counter for the entire country.
But you have such a hard time getting them to do that. Of course, it might be easier now with RFK Jr. and the others in charge of it, but a quick run back of Dr. Fauci in the beginning. Oh, you don't need to worry about the COVID virus. You don't need to worry about it. Oh, maybe we do. If you wear a mask, you'll be okay. No, you probably won't need a mask. Oh, maybe you need 2 masks. Oh, wait, now we have a vaccine that will take care of it for you. Get that and you'll be safe from COVID. You'll no longer have it. And you'll be, oh, no, you might need to get a booster. I mean, it kept changing and moving the goalposts daily.
Right. And I think it was more than just mistakes. I think a lot of it was intentional. And I mean, he basically collaborated with researchers to enable this virus to even become a thing, and funded the research for it, and then lied in Congress about it. He needs to be indicted.
Yes.
He needs to be, you know, put on trial.
And I'm for us understanding such diseases and doing testing. I'm not for giving money to China to do the testing for us.
Right. I mean, they basically couldn't do it in the U.S., so they took it offshore. They took it where it was legal. And, you know, I think it was released intentionally by the Chinese. I think it was, you know, it's divided our country like no other external threat would do. You know, you think about, you know, Pearl Harbor brought the country together. Yeah. 9/11 brought the country together. This divided our country, and that, I think, was very intentional.
And, of course, Fauci and all the rest of those around him say, it is not from China. It came from a wet market. It is not out of a lab. They had to backtrack on that as well.
Right. I mean, there are plenty of scientists who have looked at the molecular makeup of the virus and said there's no possible way that it could come from natural sources. And we've never seen a disease like this, a respiratory tract disease. And we are still dealing with the carnage from the disease and from the shot. I mean, I still see patients daily in my office that are struggling.
I have had, and I ended up getting the vaccine only because I travel with a bunch of Harley riders and we're in and out of bars, and nobody's wearing a mask in a Harley bar unless you're there to rob it, and you're not going to do that. But I did it in a promise to my daughters. I got the shot, I got COVID. I got the booster, I got COVID. And I might still think, probably have the long-haul COVID illness, not as bad as others. How prevalent is that happening?
Yeah, It's hard to say, but you know, in the 2 years following the rollout of the COVID shot, 7% of my new patients are coming to see me with possible injuries, which really matches with what the VSafe data was showed. VSafe was an app that the government gave people who got the shots to report possible side effects. And 7% of the people had to go see a doctor after getting the COVID shots because of problems.
When they released it, it said safe down to, I think, maybe age 12, and they were yet allowing pregnant women to get it. Anyone knows that whatever you drink or ingest as a pregnant woman goes right to the fetus.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, and they're still getting it to pregnant women and children. 7 million children have gotten the COVID shot this year. It's hard to believe. 29 states recommend that all babies get 3 shots by the time they're 9 months old. And so I'm really pushing hard to have this pulled off the market. Parents are not getting informed consent. The prevailing mantra seems to be, well, let people choose, and you know, parents are giving their children and they're just bad parents, but they're getting pressured and they're not getting informed consent.
And parents, yeah, I mean, it's a terrible thing to think I did something that harmed my child. You're listening to Dr. Mary Bolden, author of Dangerous Misinformation, The Virus, The Treatments, The Lies. It's actually coming out later this month, and it is the medical case behind everything RFK is now arguing. It is available now, though, right?
It's available in 13 days.
In 13 days, Dangerous Misinformation. Just remember that, because that's exactly what we went through. Dr. Mary Bolden treating 6,000-plus respiratory illnesses during COVID and got shunned, thrown out, basically, from the Houston Methodist Hospital for dangerous and misinformation. Doctor, I want to thank you for your time. I'd like to have you back again after the book comes out.
I'd love to. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much, and God bless your work. Yeah, how many people have paid a price just because they spoke out? You probably did. You know others who did. And we continue to see the ripple effects, do we not? I want to make a note to you that I did not mention at the beginning. Ted Turner, the founder of CNNN, passed away at age 87. Ted Turner, a powerful force, regards if you like it or not, upon media and the world. He will be the feature of our story behind the story on Friday. But today marks the date of the Hindenburg airship disaster. So the story behind the story today deals with that disaster on this date. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day, because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
It's starting to rain again. The rain had slacked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from...
It's rushing to flash. Get this started. It's rising terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast and all the folks between it. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's 400 or 500 feet into the sky. It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the flame is rising to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the furniture screaming around it.
The humanity of it all. That was a live broadcast, although taped, but a live event at that point, by Herbert Morrison, an American journalist with WLS Radio, 1936. I'm sorry, he joined them in 1936, but the story of that point was 1937, Lakehurst, New Jersey, as the Hindenburg was set to conclude its maiden U.S. trip. It made numerous trips before then, and I'll point some of those out to you as we move forward. This was a dirigible, a massive airship, longer than the Titanic, 10 stories high. 36 died in that disaster. 36. Now, 22 of them were crew members, 13 passengers, one civilian worker on the ground. In other words, out of 97 on board, 62 did survive. But the way it happened and that flash of fire and explosion that night, and the report by Herbert Morrison rippled around the world. Let's go back to a report from the History Channel, the beginning.
Frankfurt, Germany, May 3rd, 1937. The world's largest aircraft, the Hindenburg, prepares to depart for New Jersey. The airship's tanks are full of hydrogen and nitrogen, fueling its 11th transatlantic flight to the United States.
Hindenburg is a dirigible aircraft that's filled with gas, and that makes it lighter than air, so it can basically float.
Hindenburg provided something that no other type of aircraft could provide. 3-day passage from Europe to the United States, and great luxury.
At 7:16 p.m., the Hindenburg takes off for Lakehurst, New Jersey.
And again, it was a luxurious travel. You had to keep in mind the size of this airship that had a metallic coating to it that made it stand out even more, as if you could overlook it. It also had Nazi symbols on it. We'll come back to that point in a moment. But back to the description of the Hindenburg.
More than 10 stories tall, stretching 804 feet long, the Hindenburg is roughly the same size as the Titanic. Unlike a hot air balloon, the Hindenburg is a rigid airship constructed with a metal frame.
It's filled with 16 cells of hydrogen gas, which is a gas that's lighter than air, which makes it buoyant. It floats without needing to be lifted up by any sort of wings.
The ship has a triangular structure through the very center that runs all the way. That's actually what the crew would walk across. And around that are these metal frameworks, like the ribs of a barrel. And outside of that is an outer cover, 7 acres of aeronautical cloth that has been painted and carefully sealed so that it is both waterproof but also sturdy for the elements.
Aluminum powder in the varnish is what gave the Hindenburg its silver color, but it also served the purpose of reflecting the sunlight so that the hydrogen gas did not get heated, inflate, and burst.
Beyond its technical achievements, the Hindenburg is a floating representative of a sinister government.
The swastikas emblazoned on the tail were the national flag of Germany at the time. So basically, the Hindenburg served as a flying billboard for the Nazi government in Germany.
And that was before World War II broke out. And the German conquest began under Hitler and everything else was going on. Now keep in mind, it would simply rise on its own if allowed to. That's why it had to be tied down. It was filled not with what we see today in today's modern day blimps, as we refer to them. They use helium like you fill a balloon. You've done that before. Have a balloon filled with helium, you let it go, it takes off. But this was highly explosive hydrogen. And those who wanted to cross to either the U.S. or even to South America, because they'd made trips like that before, it was not cheap.
Thanks to recent upgrades, the Hindenburg now carries 72 passengers and almost as many crew. A one-way ticket costs roughly $8,500 in today's money.
The Hindenburg was set up for luxurious travel. There were two decks that included a dining room, washrooms, a full electric kitchen, and even a smoking lounge. They also had a grand piano that had been constructed of aluminum and covered in pigskin.
For the most part, the Hindenburg would travel about 650 feet above land or sea. Captains were very conscious of the passenger experience, and they would actually lower the altitude to allow them to see amazing sights that no one in humanity ever had, like icebergs from above.
And you took note of the fact they said they even had a smoking lounge when they got massive, explosive, flammable gas above them. Again, to the early travels of the Hindenburg.
After a four-year-long construction process, work on the Hindenburg is completed in 1936. And that spring, it begins its first international flights to the United States and Brazil.
It was spectacularly successful in 1936. It went back and forth across the Atlantic, both the North Atlantic and the South Atlantic. And so they entered the 1937 season with so much pressure on them to make this first North American flight of 1937 a success.
On May 6th, 1937, after a nearly three-day journey, the Hindenburg reaches American soil.
As the Hindenburg is heading for its destination, Lakehurst, New Jersey, there are storms ahead of it. And so the Hindenburg can't land when it's supposed to. It spends hours waiting for the storms to clear up. And there are film crews and radio crews waiting to see this amazing sight.
What the ship is supposed to do is approach a structure known as a mooring mast. And once there, drop the landing ropes. At that point, the ship drops its ballast, and then a crew of about 200 burly men grab a hold of those ropes, attach them to winches, and then start bringing it down to the ground.
And also at that point, apparently an order was given for a man controlling the engines powering the Hindenburg's direction to speed them up. Now, whether or not that added additional issues or not is not sure, but they lost their balance level. And apparently the first explosion happened, they think, according to some, at the front of the Hindenburg. But the majority of the explosion appeared to be at the rear. And what did happen? One theory has always been sabotage. So yes, there's more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
At 7:25 p.m., disaster strikes.
As the ship is landing, the tail is getting closer and closer to the ground. And they try to release hydrogen in an effort to bring that ship back into level.
The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough.
Unfortunately, it's just not working. The tail continues to fall below the bow. And then suddenly, an explosion occurs.
Oh my, it bursts into flames. 400 or 500 feet into the sky. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. The smoke and the flames now. The humanity.
97 passengers and crew were on board. 62 survived that violent explosion. If you've ever seen the video, it's impossible to imagine. But it all went up in flames in under a minute at Lakehurst, New Jersey, on this date, 1937. And then the explanation of what happened. As I pointed out, with those Nazi symbols on it, the question was sabotage?
Because the Hindenburg was used as a Nazi propaganda tool, it's a natural target for anti-Nazi activists. The Hindenburg senior captain, Ernst Lehmann, reports that just before leaving Germany, they received a warning that there was a threat to bomb the Hindenburg when it was over American soil.
Hugo Eckner was the head of the company that built the aircraft, and he would ultimately indicate that he received threats directly that the aircraft should not proceed to Lakehurst, New Jersey, because something bad would happen there.
Given this warning, the German security before taking off was extremely stringent. They went through the mail, they went through the luggage, and nothing was found, but this was early days of security, and something may have slipped through.
Charles Rosendahl, the commander of NAS Lakehurst, suggested to the FBI that they should investigate a passenger who had a dog in the cargo compartment right around cell 6, and he had been visiting the dog unaccompanied by a member of the ship's crew.
The Joseph Spa was a vaudeville performer. He was wrapping up a trip in Germany. He'd purchased a German Shepherd. He wanted it on board. It was in a canine kennel, and that he wanted to feed the dog himself, so he had access to an area passengers were not allowed, and in fact, it got to a point where it was common for him to do it.
Crew members report that during the flight, Spa insists on feeding the dog himself.
The passengers aren't allowed to simply wander to the cargo bay on their own. That's usually what the crew does. So this behavior gets the crew's attention.
Several of the stewards report that Spa was acting strangely. In particular, when the Hindenburg was delayed for several hours due to the thunderstorms, he had this urgency to land.
He was getting impatient when the Hindenburg was not quite landing on time, which, if you had planted a bomb that, say, had a timer, would be a reasonable thing to be doing.
Now, Spa did survive the crash, but they could never get enough information against him to issue charges. And among the survivors were those on the ground, and one of them and his brother and cousins were there trying to pull the ropes, get them to a winch, and bring the Lindenberg in. Robert Buchanan.
All I saw was sparks and flames coming out of this engine. 2 seconds later, more or less 2 seconds, we saw this ball of fire.
It burst into flames. Get it started. It's rising. Terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please. It's running.
We just turned and ran just as fast as we could. What direction, I don't know, but whatever direction we thought was the best. And we ran for quite a few feet until the heat was gone. Then we turned around, of course.
And
by that time, the ship was all on the ground. Still burning, of course, in flames. So we naturally walked back. And by the time we returned to the ship, people asked me, did you help anyone? Well, by the time we returned to the ship, all that had been done. There wasn't anyone to help. And we were just merely, as I say, survivors. I honestly thought that it was the end of my life. I really didn't think I was going to make it. The heat was just so bad. And it did burn my hair. And another fellow in my group who I knew told me later that he literally did have burns on his neck.
Robert Buchanan, one of those trying to grapple the ropes, the Hindenburg had dropped down. Again, 36 died on this date, 1937, in the Hindenburg disaster. Tomorrow, the story behind the story, that is the date, May 7, 1945, of the German unconditional surrender. And as I said, Friday, the story behind the story will be Ted Turner. Our second hour is still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law is already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.